You're listening to Cross the Border, and yes, I think when I read here Ecclesiastes 2:18, this is the bumper sticker that says, "I am spending my children's inheritance." You've seen that bumper sticker, and here's how he puts it, though: "Yes, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So rather than do that, I'm spending my children's inheritance." That means we have no regard for God's law, and that we're only working for a temporary gain. That's right. And that's what the world seeks after. The Messiah put the words great. He says, don't take any thought about what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? How am I going to buy clothes? How am I going to get an automobile? How am I going to travel? You know, where am I going to get a house? How am I going to pay for all these things? He says, after all these things, do the nations seek? The word Gentiles there in the Authorized King James Version. After all these things, this is what the world seeks after. All the riches that this life has to offer. A better, newer house, bigger car, whatever. You know, the swimming pools, the big screen TVs, all these things. He says, after all these things, that's what they seek. And our commentary here by the preacher, he says, I hate all these things because, you know what, I'm going to work for all these things and they're just going to be left to someone else when I die. And it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And he says, I hated all my labor because that's all it is. You know, the eyes aren't filled with seeing. It's not like I'm achieving some ultimate goal. Like, you know, I'm finally going to get there. I'm going to arrive one day and my eyes will be filled with seeing and my ears will be filled with hearing and I'll be satisfied. No, he says, I hated all my labor because it couldn't fill me and I'm going to have to leave everything that I've worked for behind. If that's all you're working for is a reward that fades away, that passes on to the next generation, and you just leave it all behind, it's nothing. There is a kingdom, and there is a king, the King of Kings, the King above all kings, the King that is crowned by our Heavenly Father. And He is the King of the kingdom of heaven. And if you make Him your king, and you walk in His kingdom, He says, seek first my kingdom. Put my kingdom first before your own kingdom, before all the things that they labor for in the world. Because we see the end there. You just hate all that. You have to leave it all to someone else. That's all you're laboring for. He says, I'm offering you a kingdom that will last forever. And that's right. When your mortality ends, I'm even going to give you a new body. One that will never get sick. It will never get old and never die like the one you have now. It will never have sickness. It will not slowly fall apart. It will last forever. And you'll be with me in my kingdom forever. You will never even be tempted again. How does that sound? To be in a place where you're never even going to be tempted again with sin. You know, the world pleasures in sin. Sin is pleasurable. It's taking that which the Almighty gave us, the pleasures of this life, and turning them to an evil purpose. And so that we can just enjoy the pleasure of it. That's what abortion is all about. You just want to enjoy the pleasure of sex because it is so good. And it is good. I haven't forgot. It's been 4 or 5 years since my wife died, but I haven't forgot. Believe you me, I haven't forgot how pleasurable that is. And I could be tempted with those same temptations because I'm a healthy man. Perhaps the Almighty will give me another wife. Perhaps He won't. I certainly could use the help as well as the enjoyment. But there's pleasure, and I could go out today and do it wrong and take pleasure in it because there is pleasure in sin. And I could go out and get the pleasure right now. The world is offering it to me. The world would gladly give it to me today, tonight, right now. I could go out and seek it and find it. But I'm not after it. I'm after something that will last forever. I'm after the pleasures that will come afterward. I know they'll be greater than all of the pleasures that this life has to offer. I know, and that those pleasures will never end. All I have to do is endure in his kingdom until the end of my mortality, and I will be saved from death, and I will be saved forever, and I will never have any pain. I will never want forever anything. I will have pleasures forevermore. I can't imagine, and they'll be good. No evil. No, I won't have to, it won't have to be unlawful pleasures. Do you want that? Does that sound like it's worth giving up your life for? And all of the things that this world has to offer that can't satisfy, that are only vexation of spirit, that you hate? He said, therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair. He said that it's vanity, it's great evil. I hated all my labor, all the things that I worked for, because in the end, they never filled my eyes. They never filled my ears. I never, the pleasure, it never satisfied. The black hole only wanted more, and to the destruction of my own soul. That's all it is. You could, it's on display. Everywhere you turn, you can watch it. People are destroying their own souls, trying to fill up the black hole with the pleasures of this, of the flesh, the pleasures of unlawful pleasures. You can have lawful pleasure in your life and thank the Almighty that you do. I am grateful for the pleasures, the lawful pleasures that I enjoy in this life. There are, it's enough for me. It's enough. What I have is enough. I'm satisfied because he satisfies me. And I believe in the promises of the Almighty. I believe, I know that the things that I hope for are true because he's revealed it to me. His spirit has revealed it to my spirit. I can see eternity because he showed it. I can't show it to you, but he can. Do you really want it? Then walk in it. Walk in his kingdom. Gain the sight that can only be gained in his. He'll give you enough. He'll give you a glimpse. He'll show you enough to keep you coming for more, to reach out for that pleasures forever, lawful pleasures. The desire, I don't ever want to sin ever again in my life. I want to get to the place where I will never even be tempted. That is my choice. I choose that. To get to a place where I will never even be tempted. I choose that. At the same time that I realize that I will always be tempted in this mortal flesh. However, I've noticed something over the last 40 years of walking, of enduring, and many times terribly failing in his kingdom. By his grace and mercy, he pulled me back out of the pit. He pulled me out of the mire, and I can't take any credit for it. That's all I could say. I can't take any credit for it. I could have been lost just like anyone else out there. I don't know why. I don't know what made me reach for his hand, except him. I don't understand everything. All I know is that I am grateful that I did reach for his hand. Whether he made me reach for his hand, I don't know how that all happens. I don't have all the answers. All I know is that he works, and that if you seek him diligently, you will find him, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that means even if you fall back into the mire and the muck, and you're up to your neck in it, that you still seek him diligently. But I've noticed that it's easier to stand. And I've noticed it's easier to reach for his hand because I've become practiced at it. You know, practice makes perfect. It really does. So I keep practicing and practicing, and I notice it's easier. And that I also know that I have too much. I have too much stuff, too much treasure stored up in his kingdom, in that kingdom where I can't even count the treasure. All I know is that there is so much stored up there for me. Right now, I know it, that I can't forsake it. I can't turn away from it. That's the point you need to get to. And I'll tell you what, if it's one farthing, you know, if it's one shekel in his kingdom, it's more than $1 billion on earth. So you don't need much, because like I said, one speck of treasure in his kingdom is more valuable than all the riches of Bill Gates' billions. That's right. That's hard to grasp. That's hard to hold on to. But see, I know that I have, you know, a vast amount of treasure, a mound of treasure in his kingdom waiting for me to get there. All I got, this is the contract. I've given my life to him. He offered me his blood. He offered me his blood for my life. And he said, this is the contract. I give you my blood for your life. And when the labor is done, you have treasures untold. You treasure so great that you cannot even fathom the riches that you will experience forever when you cross over into eternity, into when you leave off your mortality, as I did. That's right. He said, just follow me. Pick up the cross and follow me. That's the deal. I give you my blood. I cover your sins with my blood. And you work for me. Now, you now belong to me. I purchased you with my blood. That's what the Messiah says. Now, labor in my kingdom. And you will have treasures untold. You can't even fathom it. And you will have forever. You are my bond servant. You know, in America, they had bond servants. They'd go on a ship and they'd come over to America and they would work for so many years in bond servitude, 6 years. And in the seventh year, what would they get? Their freedom and whatever else, whatever they could save and a certain amount of money. And they would labor for them years and then they would be free. That was like heaven. That's the deal. He pays your fare for you. You become his bond servant. You work for him for the rest of your life. You belong to him. You obey him. And he's not going to ask you to do anything unlawful because he is the great lawgiver. So you do whatever he says. That's right. That's the deal. You want to be in his kingdom. That is the deal. Give him your life. Trade it for his blood, the covering that will save you. What a good deal. You got a better deal than that? Here's your other deal. Yes, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. That's the other deal. You labor all your life, and then you just die, and you leave it all behind. And it's worse than that, because you have no eternal reward. You're going to go pay the price for your own sins. That's the other deal. You labor all your life for things, and then everyone who comes after you gets your things. And you? You don't get to escape death. You get to pay the price for your own sins. That's not a very good deal. Yet that is the deal that most of the world goes after. That is the deal that most of the world goes after. That's it. That's the deal. You want that deal? That's pitiful. When I heard about his deal, what he was offering, I had to go for it. I had enough wisdom to say, I want that deal. That's right. I'll be your bond servant. You're going to pay my fare. You're going to pay my fare so I can cross over into eternity and escape hell and death and paying the price for my own sins. I get to pass over that into the resurrection of life, and you paid the fare for me. All I have to do is give you my life in exchange for that. I'll take that deal. And I get to store up treasure, which I will get to enjoy forever. I like that deal. There is no better deal. You know, people think that Christianity is foolishness. And you know what? It is in the world where you're trying to get everything you can that the world has to offer so you can enjoy it in this life. Yeah, for this life, it's not a good deal. Yeah, you should get minimum wage at least for your labors. I don't even get minimum wage. You know, I marvel, and I've hired a lawyer to help me out in my legal battles with the people that are trying to steal everything I have, and I have to pay, I pay him $150 an hour for his labor because he has a license to charge that much, and it's an exclusive license. You know how the whole legal thing works. You got your barred attorneys, they have license, and not saying any, not disparaging the man that's working for me. because I love him as a brother in Christ, but he's where he's at, I'm where I'm at. And I said, I think, well, you know what? I work for $0 an hour. That's what I get. And if I added up, you know, the amount that I actually get to pay my own bills and buy my own food and clothing and provide for mine, you know, I'm probably getting about $3 an hour, maybe. I mean, I've never really tried to figure it out, but it's not very much. You know, I should complain to the, the Employment Development Department. That's right. I should complain. God is not giving me minimum wage and I'm not getting all the benefits I should get. No, he's giving me benefits that cannot be counted. Yes. Benefits that cannot be counted. That's what I'm laboring for. And even if you're working for $150 an hour or eight or whatever minimum wage is, you can still labor in his kingdom where you're at by giving him the 10% or more that he asked for. He doesn't ask for much. He asks for less than the government gives. Yes. Let's continue here. We're in Ecclesiastes. I hated all my labor. That's what the preacher says. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and knowledge, he says, and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. And it makes me think of the great preachers out there that riches came to them by one device, not judging any of them, and they leave it to their children. They leave their ministry empire to their children. You see that it's great vanity, even if they did it in wisdom and knowledge. If they, you know, he says, this also is vanity. For what hath a man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the sight in the night. This is also vanity. You know, you labor day and night. And this is the other side, that while you're laboring, even myself, I've learned, I have to take time. I have to take time to enjoy the lawful pleasures that this life has to offer. I can't stay up and work all night. There are times for that. There are times when, yeah, I have to work through the night. And there are times when I'm in a project where I'm working late into the night because I'm into that project. But I can't do that all the time. I can do that occasionally, and sometimes it's called for, that kind of labor. But he says, for all his days are sorrow, travail, his grief, his heart has taken not rest in the night. I need to take rest in the night, and I need to do that regularly. I need to take pleasure. I need to get up out of my chair and get on my bicycle and ride around like I'm 10 years old again. And I do it. And I get exercise and I enjoy it. It's a great pleasure to me. And it's a lawful pleasure that I can enjoy. And I can enjoy it with my children and my grandchildren. And I do. I have to do this. Otherwise, it just becomes a sorrow and a travail, even if it's a good thing. It's the ruin of many men and their families not to take that time and enjoy the lawful pleasures of this life with their children. They lose their children. They devote themselves wholly to their ministry and their children get lost. And I say to myself, what good is it? What good is it if I save 100 souls, if I save 1,000,000 souls from the pits of hell and I lose my own children and grandchildren? What good is it? That is a vexation. It is a sorrow and a travail to work and not even rest in the night and lose the simple pleasures that this life, the good things, the lawful things that God, that the Heavenly Father wants us to enjoy, to take the time to discipline our children. Yes, be their teachers. Don't turn them over to the public fools, and then you wonder why they got lost. I see many, many good people love the Heavenly Father, labor hard to give to his kingdom, then turn around and lose their own children and grieve at the loss of their grandchildren, to watch them even die and be lost forever and know that they're lost forever. What did they do wrong? They didn't take the time. They didn't teach them. They didn't become their teachers. They turned them over to pagans. Oh, what a grievous thing. What a terrible grief, bitterness, and vexation of spirit. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give it, give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. The preacher says here in chapter 2, verse 24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul, that he should make his soul good in his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. Yes, these good pleasures in life, they are from the hand of the Almighty. And we should enjoy them with temperance, with self-control, only enjoying that which is lawful. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? And this is the preacher. This is a very rich man. More than I. That's what he's saying. That's the lesson of Ecclesiastes. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Eternal are these words. And see, this is why I don't want to give it up. I love the King James Version. For the English-speaking people, this is the Bible of Bibles. This is where all the beauty is preserved of all the great translators from the Reformation. And nobody does it better. It will never be done better. All they argue, well, you know, we got to get rid of the D's and the thou's and the all that archaic language. And all of their effort is in vain. Because, you know, it's been determined by a study, and I forget, you can look it up for yourself, that of all the versions, all the English versions of the Bible, the King James Version, that authorized King James Version, is written at the lowest grade level. And you know what? This is going to be a great place to pick up next time. I've been having too much fun. They say time flies when you're having fun. Well, do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Be sure to leave a comment there on the contact page. Let me know you're listening. I really would like to hear from you. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah.